story listener of three brave podcasters, surely destined for valor.
Oh my god, that's so... Oh, I'm so glad I cleared that lump in my throat. Hi, listeners! How's it going?
I should never have let you take a hit of my vape. It does this to everyone, you know, it's fine.
Fucking dumb.
It's Kill James Bond. It's a bonus episode. It's Devon's pick, and Devon picked the Northman. We are
that's
on
right.
Some Norse shit, a little like season within a season of Viking. We're doing some like Scandinavian content.
Indeed. Yeah, as you all will have heard, I had such a good time doing Beowulf that I decided to examine a sort of counterpart to it in The Northman.
Mm. Yeah.
A better film in most, if not always.
Yeah, absolutely. A more interesting film to talk about, I think.
Yes, definitely.
This is a Robert Eggers film, and I want to say up front something that Robert Eggers did say, which is at the premiere of this. He's like, I hate the way in which Norse culture has been appropriated by the far right. And I'm like repulsed by that. And I want to make a movie that kind of doesn't do that. And I think ultimately one of the things that we're going to be talking about in the course of this episode is how successful he was or wasn't in doing that. Because I've watched this movie before. I remember thinking it was like visually impactful, right? Very, very like accurate and like well observed and stuff and details. But politically a bit...
I'm glad he said that. I feel that effort perhaps didn't come across in what was on screen. I can think of a few ways in which it would have been, you know, maybe more obvious that that's what you're trying to do with it, but I certainly appreciate the effort.
Absolutely. Mm. And this was his like first like huge budget movie, right? After the Vvitch and whatever the other one was. This one had like 10 times the budget.
I mean, cards on the table, this is exactly the kind of movie I would want to be in. It looks fucking sick. It looks like everyone involved in filming it had a fucking miserable time because they're constantly slopping through the freezing wet landscape of Iceland. But that's exactly the kind of shit that I'm like, yes, that's what I want to fucking make, baby.
Absolutely.
That's good content.
I regret that I didn't get the chance to see this in a cinema, right? Because to see this huge and extremely loud, I think would have elevated it a great deal instead of watching it like at home. You do miss something when you're not seeing these things in
silver screen.
Mm-hmm. Silver screen here, you know, dreams, whatever the Nicole Kidman thing. Nicole Kidman's in this, by the way.
She is.
With an insane weave. The longest, waviest hair. It looks real bad.
Yeah, props to the wig makers, as always.
Yes, but so we begin in 9th century Sweden, in Hrafnse, where our kid hero is waiting for his, like, Fikinger father to return from raiding, enslaving, pillaging, looting, raping, all of this.
Mm-hmm. He's just finished Viking and he's coming back to...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And his mother, Queen Gudrun, Nicole Kidman, is there. He like walks in on her changing and she's like, never walk in on me changing for reasons that will become apparent later.
Mm-hmm.
Trans woman. And a couple of things up front, right? First of all, slavery in the Viking world. Like,
yes.
Going to be very, very important to talk about. Real and profoundly like inextricable part of the reason why Norse age had so many raids is to like gather slaves, particularly women, which is something we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about like Viking misogyny and gender roles in Norse societies. But so we upfront show that this has been like a raid to gather like slaves and loot and treasure.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So much like The Witch, much was made of this film's historical accuracy, how much they researched the look and feel of things. Such that one of my first notes that I've written is just, what were they doing in the past, man? Crazy.
Yeah, no, it just looks shit.
Yo, it's crazy, though.
It looks awful.
The past is a foreign country. It is also literally a foreign country, but also like, come on, what are you guys fucking doing? This is so weird.
It's crazy.
Sweden is a foreign country.
Yeah.
The thing is, I have a thought about accuracy, and I was going to bring this up later, but I'll just put it in now, right? So much of this stuff is like seriously historically attested. Eggers worked with a couple of Viking historians on this, particularly the guy, I forget his name, he wrote Children of Ashenelm, which is like the book if you want to start reading about Vikings, right? So a lot of this stuff is like...
Neil Price, I'm seeing.
Neil Price, thank you. The designs of the armor and the helmets and the clothes and stuff is like very, very like accurate. There's a bit where, this is kind of like emblematic of the whole thing for me. There's a bit where Nicole Kidman as Queen Gudrun is like weaving in the middle of a conversation, and she's tablet weaving, which is like an entirely accurate thing, and that's out there for the real like tablet weaving heads to be like, yo, they fucking got the correct kind of weaving in the thing. And I think maybe sometimes you can be too accurate is my contention, because this is here for like all the people who really want to see an extremely well-researched and accurate kind of like, this is the stuff that Vikings had, this is the stuff that they did. And I think it kind of harms the story in some ways, because I think sometimes some of the attention is put on, we have the correct kind of weaving, without thinking about any of the kind of socio-political implications, if you know what I mean.
Do we have the correct kind of writing, though?
I wouldn't worry about it. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, actually. I'll get into it quite a lot later.
He tried to go like even more so with this. Like they recorded the dialogue originally in like Old Norse, and the test audiences were like, what the fuck is this? All of these motherfuckers are speaking Swedish. I don't understand a word that's happening. And so they had to ADR in like English dialogue, which is...
Wow, seriously, that's...
Yeah, it's really well done. You wouldn't be able to tell, but like...
I really appreciate film and TV makers who put in like a huge amount of absolutely Herculean effort.
Yes.
It's just cool. It's so cool. Like something I really appreciate about this is, as I did with The Witch, the lighting. A lot of the lighting is done with like... natural light, like by firelight, and it's like, oh, that's so difficult to do. It's like seeing the Sistine Chapel. It's like, oh, I don't really agree with the message necessarily, but like, good effort.
Yeah, absolutely.
A pretty strong stance of mine is obviously I disagree with like the corporatization of these things. I think that if you make a completely unintelligible movie in Old Norse, that's good. And the audiences are wrong for wanting it to be in English, quite frankly.
It rules.
I think Robert Eggers kind of went
cool as hell.
A bit Harald Sakasa with this. Like, he actually became like a Norse warrior in order to make this movie.
Yes.
I don't support Robert Eggers' policy of like conducting a series of like seaborne raids against vulnerable monasteries on the northeastern coast of like Scotland and England, but you do have to say it led to a very accurate movie.
It's true, yeah.
Something else I really enjoy about this film is it has a very present soundtrack. Like, when we get a lot of long tracking shots, a lot of, like, big shots of the village and so on, which Eggers loves to do. A lot of, like, smooth dolly stuff. The camera is very serene, often, in contrast to the action, which is very frenetic. But then as all that's happening, you get a lot of, like...
It's mostly like diegetic as well.
Yeah, great time to be in a Nordic chanting ensemble again.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we said, you're always getting work.
Mm-hmm.
You're like the guy that does the sort of inner world voice in like trailers. You're always going to get work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. King Ethan Hawke returns from Viking.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
To Queen Nicole Kidman and his son. And his queen is not entirely happy to see him. This is fairly obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But his son is, who like is overawed by him and like loves his father. This is Amleth, the pronunciation TH. This is Hamlet.
We're going to call him Amleth, but yes, he is Hamlet.
It's where the name comes from. It's like, it's part of a saga, a couple of sagas actually.
Damn, real cool.
Yeah, that's where Shakespeare gets Hamlet from, is Amleth.
I guess it was kind of an interesting and possibly sensible choice that the plot of the film, with like the young prince who has a wicked uncle and so on, it's like pretty obvious from the get-go what's going to happen. And maybe that's a sensible choice given that the setting is so accurate. And as we say, the past is a foreign country. Maybe it's a good idea actually to make the story quite like by the numbers.
I think it's an attempt to kind of like turn to do a detournement of like the saga, right?
In an interesting 100%.
Way. I don't know that it's a successful one, but it's the idea, right? Because you have the kind of like fair-haired king, his queen, who like the first thing that's going wrong in this story essentially is that his queen is like, oh, this bitch is back again.
Yeah, it's like, oh, great.
Yeah. On cue, you also have the kind of scruffy, dark haired, sinister, my liege, I'm about to betray your ass brother. This is Fjolnir.
Fjolnir.
Fjolnir, who enters the mead hall as they're sort of like feasting, looking like the most I am about to betray you man.
This Jafar ass motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whoa there. If you want to hear the rest of this episode and hear 50 solid minutes of me attempting to defend this fascist movie from my two friends calling it fascist, then you're going to have to head on over to patreon.com/killjamesbond, all one word, and sign up today for just £5 a month. £5. That is barely a coffee these days. It's pretty cheap, really, when you think about it.